This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. We have some, I love it when people say this, we have weather. Well, yeah, and it was blowing up tremendously, very beautiful to watch, but lots of debris on the road. And flood warning for the Willapa River, 4 p.m., cresting around 6 p.m. at 22.6 feet. Minor flooding is forecast. Sand and sandbags are available at the county stockpile facility at 3900 Willapa Road. Bring your own shovels and fill your own sandbags. The Nacelle River is forecast to crest below flood stage. And in the area, flood watch, oh boy, until 10 a.m. Sunday. High wind warning till 4 p.m. Coastal flood advisory till 10 a.m. Saturday. So, fortunately, it's fairly warm outside, but the gusts are to 21 miles per hour. Overnight low is 40, rain tomorrow, highs near 50, and Sunday the same. So the blessing is the temperature. Well, it started last week during Art Walk, and it runs through January 7th. For viewing and purchase. Info at 503-468-0620 and imogengallery.com. That's I-M-O-G-E-N, gallery.com. Folks, if you live anywhere around here, I just want to put in a big plug. Get out to these galleries. The shows are outrageous, just gorgeous. And if you go in there, it's not Art Walk. You can actually see the art, which is a real boon. So a shout out from KMUN and KTCB to listeners in Squamish. That's Omaha and Robin and Sydney. Oh, and their parents, too. And, of course, Tessa in Seashelt. Donnie might tune in again from Long Beach, Susan on East Side, and Bob and Vivian on the West Side, and even the Wyoming folks. And I'm so glad that you are tuned in wherever you are. I want to start out, there's so many dedications today, but this one's a birthday one. In memoriam, and that would be for Mark Josephs, whose birthday was yesterday. Mark is the person who, let's be real, single-handedly created the Tenor Guitar Gathering, and then, with help from lots of friends, kept it going and left us a few years ago. But the Tenor Guitar Gathering is still going, so do stay tuned for more information on that. And today, a happy birthday to Karen Sexton Josephs. And, of course, Donna was last November, so it's the Josephs family. And I think this says it all.
Thank you.
That's Mark Josephs on harmonica and tenor guitar. Somewhere over the rainbow, where he is, and where I send good wishes to all. Yeah. It's time for my first guest. This is Carol, your host, and with me is, I do believe, a KMUN virgin. Is that right, Renee?
It is correct.
Renee Barish is here with me. And I met Renee, I can't even remember when that is. I wandered down the stairs.
Yes.
I had no idea what I was getting into, actually. I think you were still just setting up, weren't you?
Yes.
Like just kind of.
I was open, but the space was very empty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very empty. However, your spirit filled it. Renee is, her business, I believe, is called Simply Human Art. She is a tattoo artist. And, well, I have to admit, I don't have tattoos. And I don't know a lot about it, but I have watched some of the actual creation.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you approach this, I should say, and the way you approach the whole art of tattooing and humans, it's being a collaboration between you and the client, the person you're working with.
Yeah.
And something I was really struck by was how what seems to be really important to you is making this art form accessible to people.
Yes.
Because a lot of folks are scared and curious, but not mm-hmm. curious enough to go down a set of stairs.
Yeah, it's unknown and right. a little bit dark and mm-hmm. edgy and still taboo in a lot of communities.
Yeah, which is interesting because several years ago, the Maritime Museum had a fabulous exhibit of tattoos, but it was historical.
Yes, sure.
And it showed quite a bit of that, but still. Today, it's more popular and yet still a mystery.
Yes.
So you're here.
I'm
to
here.
Unravel the mystery. And
I hope yeah. so, or at least to be an avenue for people to explore tattoos for themselves. I definitely do not believe I have all of the answers for everyone's tattoo experience. We're all individuals, and what we choose to put on our bodies, how we choose to express ourselves is so unique. And I would really love to be an open door and mm-hmm. sort of help people into the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background in the arts, I don't know, mm-hmm. and how you even got into tattoo art, because a lot of people who are involved in the arts say, well, I started playing with clay or painting, you know, when I was 4 or 5. Well, you don't do that with tattoos.
No, not yet, anyway.
That's true.
No.
So how did this evolve for you?
I come from a very artistic household. My parents are both oil painters. I was always making art growing up. I was immersed in a wonderful arts community growing up in Portland,
mm-hmm.
and tattooing is everywhere in Portland. I went to an alternative elementary school, middle school, and high school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my teachers were tattooed. Mm-hmm. High school students were tattooed. So it was really a part of my everyday. I started getting tattooed pretty young, and I immediately gravitated towards the experience, how I felt coming out of a tattoo session.
Tell us.
I think of them kind of like journal entries in a way. So you have, you know, this piece on you that you've really thought about. Maybe you've drawn it yourself, or you've worked with an artist to create a custom piece. So when you leave, you know, the studio, you have this reward, but you also have this really empowering feeling, because the tattoo experience, it's painful, and it brings up a lot of different emotions for people. You have the conversations that happen with your artist. Any tattoo session can be from a half hour to 4 or 5 hours. So it's a chunk of time.
Wow.
And what happens during that chunk of time really struck me. So I started getting tattooed, and I loved the process. I connected with a number of tattoo artists pretty immediately, and they were the ones to kind of introduce me to what the tattoo world here in Oregon is like. And then from there, sort of branch out into other states and the rest of the world.
So, do you think that it's important? Because the way you just described it, what occurs to me is, I would want to really know my tattoo artist, because there's a lot of trust involved here.
So much trust.
As soon as you mention pain, I'm going, wait, I want to make sure that I know that this person is doing the best they can to not cause extra pain.
Yeah.
Because I've never done it, so I don't know what it feels like. But
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, kind of with anything, you really want to vibe with the space that you're in, with whoever you're working with. And we think about if you are, you know, if you're shopping, even if you're grocery shopping, and what are the stores you're going to go back to,
and
sort of shop around for tattoo artists as well. But absolutely, the trust piece and the connection to feel like you have a professional who is honoring your ideas for your tattoo, and also open to answering your questions too.
It's pretty intimate.
It's very intimate.
And is it, what if someone, I didn't think of this, but when you just said that about honoring your wishes, what if somebody does something and you go, ooh, that wasn't really, it's too late?
It could be too late. I mean, it's there. It's in your skin. I can absolutely speak from experience that I have had clients of mine who, we've ended up with an ongoing piece to satisfy everybody involved. And that can be anywhere from, you know, a couple months where they come back every few weeks to somebody who emailed me a few months after the tattoo and said, hey, I'd really like to come back in and add something else here. Or could we change up an element? I'm kind of uncomfortable with it. And I'm receptive to it. I am so grateful that they feel comfortable to come forward and ask for a change.
Yeah, I was reading something that you wrote, and the idea of encouraging people not to be shy about asking questions doesn't mean they're going to get a tattoo, but to come in and find out what this is all about, because
No expectation.
Yeah.
I really try to stay true to that. I encourage all of my clients to, you know, like I said, explore artists, shop around, really feel like you not only connect with somebody's style, but you also connect with them on a human level. Somebody you would want to spend a chunk of time with and can build that trusting relationship.
When I was at your studio, you had some things on the wall that would never have I'm not even sure they were for tattoos. They looked more like wall art, two-dimensional drawings.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I was a visual artist before I became a tattooer, and my work is very illustrative, big focus on lines and use of negative space. And the flip side of that in the tattoo world is that we often try to fill the space. You think about really rich color and depth, and how can you add all of these elements in to create more movement or work with a part of the body that maybe is a little bit tricky. So as I've been tattooing, I've kind of developed two distinct bodies of work. I have my visual arts piece, which is what you saw on the wall of the studio, and then the tattoo portfolio. Okay.
That does make sense because it didn't look like something. Yeah,
it can cross over, but yeah, right. I think they're a little bit different.
You also mentioned, apropos of the weather, that winter might be a good time to be thinking of this. Why?
Yes. Oh, goodness. wintertime is the best time to get tattooed, and I am always so surprised at how few tattooers bring this up with their clients, because winter is also notorious in the tattoo world for slowing down. Mm-hmm. You know, we often don't have as many clients booked, and the studio walk-ins are a little bit slower. But in the wintertime, we are not swimming. You're not exposed to the sun so much. You're not out sweating and, you know, dancing with your friends at the festivals. And so your tattoo has time to heal. That's big. Your tattoo aftercare is such a huge part of the process and is also part of your responsibility, too. You know, you own your tattoo and you care for it as it heals.
Oh, I like that image of caring for it. So, and I see, now if I'm sitting here looking at you and your shirt were a little bit higher.
I'll pull it up.
I would have no idea, except when your hands pop up. So I don't know what the rest of your body looks like, but I know there are people who are completely tattooed. As a matter of fact, I have a couple of photographs from a well-known photographer, Sherry Heiser, who photographed tattooed people in their civvies, as it were, and then their bodies. And it's extraordinary.
Those are incredible. So, I've seen many of them, and just the transformation and the contrast it's eye-popping.
It is. And it's also showed me as an outsider that you never know who's walking around the streets, roll up their sleeves, and they're just full. Nowadays, as I say, it's much more acceptable here, at least. I'm not sure about New York City or wherever, but so have you done that kind of massive or these big all across the back?
Like a full body piece. I am yet to do a full body piece. I would love to. I have had clients who I've tattooed multiple times with smaller pieces. Large session work, like, you know, a sleeve, a full arm piece, or a larger leg piece. In my career as a tattooer thus far, I am yet to venture into a full body project.
But you're open to it.
I am so open to it. If you are out there and you're listening, please come and find me. Please, please.
Well, tell people how to find you, Renee.
You can find me first off at my studio. It's a private tattoo studio located at 1010 Duane Street in the Van Dusen building in downtown Astoria. I'm between Audrey Long Ceramics and Astoria Makers, which are both great places.
And that's right where the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery is.
Yes,
that whole
correct.
Big, beautiful blue building that's filled with artists.
Filled with, and you'd never know from the outside, you wander in.
So you're still downstairs?
I am still downstairs, yes. It's a basement studio, which, like Carol opened up with, can be a little bit iffy, tattoos in the basement. But it's very intimate and
private.
And private, yes.
Yeah. There's, 'cause a lot of those studios right there are mostly window, which is great for showing off Audrey's ceramics or AVA and stuff, but not so good for what you're doing.
Not my fit.
Right.
For how I do what I do, I dig the basement.
Do you have a website or somewhere?
I do. My website is www.simplyhumanart.com.
Okay.
And I have a contact page on there. You can link to my email as well as a number of social media platforms.
And I know that Heather Douglas wrote a wonderful piece. Now, it's been a few months. Do you remember?
It has. I, I believe it was the September, like the first or second week, Coast Weekends.
Okay.
September
so
issue.
It might be possible to put your name in and it might pop up. So Renee with two E's at the end and one at the beginning. And then Barash, B-A-R-A-S-C-H. And Simply Human Art. Where did that name come from for you?
Great question. It's been an evolution, definitely. I felt like really big shoes to step into as I chose the name for my studio. I've always seen art as a unifier, first off. And so Simply Human Art for me was really about bringing people together. And then as I've grown in the tattoo world and with my clients, the word human and the human body, the human form has taken on a whole new meaning as well. So it Simply Human, which is also a little ironic since we're so complex as human beings as well, but we come together on this really core piece of all being individuals and all wanting to share our stories. And I really believe that tattooing is such an incredible way to do that.
Nice. Well, I'm delighted that you were able to come in.
Thank you.
And I'm going to come visit the studio again. Probably won't be tattooed, but...
Well, I'd be honored to have you back.
I would love to come and see what you're doing now, and because it, I'm sure, has filled out some as well. So, and we do have a number of tattoo artists in this area, Clatsop County, which is phenomenal because, of course, there weren't any when I first came here. So it shows how things have changed.
Yes, absolutely.
It's great to have you here. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. Okay. So glad to be on the show.
And I have some music for you with a thank you to Albert. It is, after all, solstice tomorrow, where the light is changing. It's Hanukkah beginning Sunday night, where we light one candle and increase the light each night, just as after the solstice, the light is increased. Many people decorate for Christmas with lights, and I think Rabbi Leonard had it.
Thank you so much, friends. We're so privileged to be able to gather in moments like this when so much of the world is plunged in darkness and chaos. So ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. The birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again, I seem to hear them say. Do not dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the wars, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be caught again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Thank you. signs were sent, the birth betrayed, the marriage spent. Yeah, the widowhood of every single government, signs for all to see. I can't run no more with that lawless crowd, while the killers in high places say their prayers out loud. Ah, but they've summoned up a thundercloud, and they're gonna hear from me. The bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Yeah. That's how the light gets in. And it's imperative that we take part in that crack and help to crack things open so the light can come in. I think we've taken one step in the last week. We got lots more steps to do. And as everybody who listens to this show knows, I believe, and most of my guests, I'm sure all of my guests do too, that one of the biggest ways to let the light in is through the arts and culture. And we have two thumbs up in the room, even though I only have one guest coming on. Oh, she's got two hands. But actually, my guest now is Barinas Jones Centeno. And Barinas is actually a programmer here at KMUN. And she is fabulous. Opera presents incredibly well put together opera programs on Sunday mornings.
Thanks, Carol.
Often obscure operas, which is really fun. And so I learn a lot and I enjoy, and she takes it down to the core. And that's actually what her profession is, one of the many, I guess. She is the founder and director of the Cascadia Chamber Orchestra.
Chamber Opera, yeah.
Oh, God. I almost got it right.
That was really good.
Cascadia Chamber Opera, of course, opera, because that's what they do. And stay tuned, because you will be seeing a lot of that in Astoria. They've got programs coming of all kinds, and it's exciting. And it's a great entry for people who think opera.
Exactly.
What do I want to do? Opera. Yeah. Trust me, you'll love it. But Barinas is here today because she's also a board member with the Oregon Cultural Trust, which is an organization that benefits all of us, every single one of us who cares about the arts. I'm going to turn it over to Barinas, and I'll pop in. I also have another guest in the studio who is actually my next guest, but I've given her permission to jump in with commentary if she has any. So Catherine is here too. So Barinas, what's the Oregon Cultural Trust and why are we talking about it right now?
Yeah, good question.
End of the year.
Let me bring this forward. December 31, 2019.
Yeah.
Really important date, yes, to remember, but now we'll go backwards.
Yeah. Okay.
The Oregon Cultural Trust is a state agency that has basically, it started in 2001 as a vehicle to encourage citizens of the state of Oregon to donate money towards the development and support of arts and culture. And it is a fundraising entity. And so what we do is we gather funds and we redistribute funds to various institutions throughout the state of Oregon. And the significant thing is that money comes from us, and then the money then is distributed. And then the cool thing is, for those who have donated, you get this incredible thing called a tax credit.
Ding, 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 ding.
What's in it for me? I've had lots of people say, why on earth would I do this?
Right.
So, and what happens is you get a tax credit on your following tax year. And this is a unique little vehicle for the folks in the state of Oregon. They're, as far as I understand, we're the only state that does this specific program.
That's my understanding, too, which is phenomenal.
Isn't that
really?
Great? Yeah. Which is why you want to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, mm-hmm. make that effort, because our legislators need to know that it matters to us that there is this credit available, and that the money then is available through grant funds to all kinds of arts and culture and tribal coalitions. And it's a really well-organized entity in terms of how the money is received. Grants are given. There are large grants given through what we call the Community Development Fund. And then there's also smaller coalitions. Each little county has its own little coalition. We have our own here in Clatsop County.
And Tillamook County.
And Tillamook
one
County.
Also.
Exactly. Yep. There are all these small counties as well that are able to distribute to smaller institutions. Mm-hmm. As well. So mm-hmm. I think that's a huge summary mm-hmm. of what mm-hmm. it all is about. The board members are made up of people all up and down the state of Oregon. Myself, I'm one representing up here in this corner. There are several others of us. I think our board currently now is 18 board members.
Wow.
It's a pretty sizable board. I hope that was the correct number at this point.
Does that mean there are people from the Southeast and
yeah.
Okay.
We have representation
from all over Oregon.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that there is a true representation of what the state looks like and the folks that are living here. And I do want to talk a little bit, if I could, just bring up the names of the various what we call partners or statewide partners, because I think that this is going to bring the two of you into this picture. So there's the Oregon Arts Commission, the Oregon State Historic Preservation Office, Oregon Heritage Commission, Oregon Humanities, and the Oregon Historical Society. These are institutions that the trust creates a funding source for, and they are then the ones who do this wonderful work of absolutely sending the money out. Mm-hmm. They make grants available for those specific niche elements of arts, culture, and heritage.
Really okay. Cool. Now, logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, of course, we're here at KMUN. How many organizations or groups are there? Isn't that 1,400?
Yeah, we have over 1,400 registered arts and humanities groups. It's really cool, right?
Yeah.
And
it's amazing.
Right. And it's not that hard to become a registered group, by the way. So if you have an institution, please make sure you send in your request to be a part of it, and they'll review it in the administrative offices of the trust and make sure that you're eligible to receive grant funding. That means you then get the support when you go ahead and make your donation.
So I met someone who, when he heard that I was affiliated with KMUN, he mm-hmm. said, so are you guys part of that that tax credit thing?
Yes, you are.
I said, yes, we are. And so how it works, I'm going to try this, and then Barinas is going to correct me. I'm going to use KMUN, of course, because here we are. But again, 1,400 all over the state, mm-hmm. including many, many here in our radio listening area. Mm-hmm. It is only Oregon, though.
Correct.
So even though you folks in Pacific County are so close, closer than I live. Sorry, you don't qualify. So, that's right. Catherine lives across the room. So, KMUN, we have are always open to donations
Absolutely.
Of any sort. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you're doing your taxes and you're saying, you know what, it's the end of the year. I did give something at the beginning of the year, or maybe even I forgot. Let me get my donation in. They had those cool lunch boxes for $100. I'm going to donate $100 to Coast Community Radio, KMUN. Great. That is a donation, and if you itemize, you can take it as a deduction on your taxes. Now, here comes the Oregon Cultural Trust, big brother. You give them, you have to have given to one of the organizations, although nobody's ever checked on me, but that's another story. I say, oh, okay, well, I gave 100 to KMUN. I can give 100 to OCT. Yeah, but why? Here's why. Every dollar that you give to Oregon Cultural Trust, up to $500
if
for an individual,
single,
is taken right off your state taxes. Wow. So if you owe $1,000 in taxes and you gave Oregon Cultural Trust $500, you now owe only $500 in taxes. What this effectively means, this is why I love it, I get to control where my tax money goes.
Exactly.
And that is exciting, and I don't think anyone else lets you.
Exactly.
You know, you can say, well, I want it to go to the schools and the this and the that, but they say, that's nice. But in this case, you really get to do that.
You are. You are controlling that.
And if we're not making enough sense, or I'm not, what's the website, Denise?
It's called culturaltrust.org.
Just
culturaltrust.org.
Can't be easier. Culturaltrust.org.
Yeah. And it's, I just want to make more of that.
Go ahead.
It is a dollar per dollar reduction in your state taxes. It's different from what we would call a deduction, because that's based on your tax bracket and it's only a percentage. And yes, you may still itemize and that kind of thing. But even if you don't itemize, what's beautiful about this is that you can still take that tax credit against your state taxes.
It's amazing.
It's a wonderful thing. And this is why we're trying to make, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
We're trying to make sure people are aware of it because we've realized it's like, wow, it's so easy. Why don't people do it?
Because it's hard to believe it's true. But I'm here to tell you because I've been doing it for years.
Yep.
And
yep.
By the way, for full disclosure, I just made my donation.
Good job.
So,
well done.
Yeah, because I didn't want to wait till midnight on December 31st because there may be nobody there.
No,
and
they
do
hang out, though.
In addition to your being able to direct it, it's what Barina said about what happens to all that money we give to OCT. It comes back to our community.
Yeah.
So the Clatsop County Cultural Trust or the Tillamook County Cultural Trust or all of them, all of the state, they get, say they get $10,000 and they disseminate it in their community.
Yeah.
So if you're an individual artist or you have a show that you want to put on, you apply to the local cultural trust and they will decide whether they have the money for you. That money comes from OCT. It is, I don't believe in win-win, you know, all that. But this
is. Oh, it really is.
You
know, I've joked with people saying that we've got this wonderful gift of where you give money. I don't know about you, Carol, but I love art all up and stuff, you know, and I can only afford to give to a few places. By making this donation, I'm helping that many more institutions in my state without having, I mean, I don't know what's going down in Mueller County, for instance, but I know that I am supporting the arts down in that part of the state.
Right,
and
which
it
is
just
good
feels really
for
good.
All of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so if you have questions, go to culturaltrust.org. Is that right? Is that
That's
the
it.
Best?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anywhere a human being might answer their questions? Is there a phone number there?
There are phone numbers, and unfortunately, I don't have a phone number in front of me, but
That's okay.
You can certainly call them. They're listed. It's
right.
An easy thing to find.
It'll be in the
It's certainly
in the website.
On the website.
Do consider this, folks. I feel like I'm... proselytizer here, which I don't believe in, but in this case I do because it's so amazing. And as Barina said, we need to make sure that the state knows that we care about this because that money can disappear. The agency can be taken away. So
it is not a given. We definitely have to make sure, and we have to, it goes before our legislature every, in fact, just this year we won. It was quite the battle of people going down to the state.
And speaking. And
walking and begging and walking and begging. And they said, okay, we'll reinstitute the thing again for you. So it's every 2 years.
Every 2 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else we need to know?
I think I've rambled enough.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Barinas, for coming in, but also for putting in your time on the Oregon Cultural Trust. And do you want to give a plug for any event that you might have coming up?
Well, I can't think of anything that I have coming up right at the moment, but I do know you talked about opera. There is an opera happening this evening.
Tonight, Amal and the Night Visitors is at the Performing Arts Center. It starts at 7 o'clock. That's 16th and Franklin. You can just go there and get your tickets. There are some outrageous performers involved, some of whom have sung with Barinas, because she is an opera singer. We're not going to let her sing, though.
Oh, please don't. I'd be all wrong.
But Catherine may, if we give her some time. So we're going to do that. But yes, that's where I'll be tonight, too.
And Carol, I found the phone number at the Trust.
Okay.
It's 503-986-0088.
Okay.
They're a lovely bunch of people working in that, and they work really hard. Call them.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
Bye.
That, again, is the Oregon Cultural Trust. And remember, it's only good for this year until December 31st. So do it now. Don't wait, because you know how it is. When we wait, we forget. At least some of us do. I'm going to bring my next guest right in. I'm going to let Barinas slip away. And my next guest, who's low-voiced commentary you may have heard, is Catherine MacDonald with a good, well, it's an MC. Does that make you Irish or Scottish?
Yeah,
Irish.
It means they've been in Ireland long enough that they became Irish.
Catherine is here. We met because we were both involved in Bridging Oregon program through the Oregon Humanities. And there were a whole bunch of us, and we learned a lot. We worked together, and a lot of us bonded, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. It was a wonderful experience, a great environment.
Yeah. But also, even before that, I hadn't seen Catherine, but I had heard her right here on KMUN. She was singing on SLAB's program, which is
the short attention span.
Short attention span, which is what I have.
And that's
why the title runs right out of my brain. And she was singing beautifully, beautiful voice. And I thought, wow, who is this? Never heard of her. And here we are. Catherine is bringing a celebration to our area. It is happening tomorrow evening at Crown Alley Irish Pub in Ocean Park, Washington. And if you try to read it, you'd probably have a hard time because I'll let her tell. I'm pronouncing it Mari Lloyd.
That's the closest I think we English speakers can get.
Yeah, because if you know anything about Welsh, you know they put lots of consonants and L's. And
yes, so many
Llangollen and stuff like that. So, Catherine, welcome, and welcome to daytime radio.
Yes, it's a new world.
Yes, and tell us, what is this? And since we've established you're sort of Irish, what's the Welsh part? And it sounded like a very bizarre kind of celebration. So what's going to happen?
All right. This is a really exciting festival. It sort of snowballed out of my control, and I'm so excited that it's gotten this far. Little bit of a weird backstory. So I was just kind of scrolling through the internet, and I saw this picture, like this meme of this skeleton horse with like these sleigh bells for eyes, and it had something on it about like in Wales, you have poetry battles with a horse to celebrate Christmas. Like, I'm a little odd. So I looked at that and I said, this is the festival for me. And my background, if you go back far enough, my family's from Ireland and from Wales. And so I haven't really done much with the Welsh connection. And so I thought this is a great way to kind of get better in touch with my own heritage and kind of have a focal point for people who may feel left out this season, people who may not have a lot of family or friends. This is a festival for everybody. You know, you basically do battle with a skeleton horse with poems and songs. So what it turned into when I researched it a little bit more, traditionally in Wales, they will go door to door with this horse skull on like a stick decorated with white fabric and ribbons and bells and all this stuff. And they it's kind of like Halloween with the door to door. And then they challenge the owner of the house to a poetry battle in Welsh. And if the owner loses, they can all come in and drink their alcohol or eat their food or, you know, cut, something like that. It's a little, you know, rainy and stormy around here. Yeah. So we decided that we were going to have it inside instead of outside. So no door to door. But I reached out to the owners of Crown Alley Irish Pub and said, hey, I have this crazy idea. Like, I don't really know if anybody will come. And he's like, are you kidding? Like, we'll make this happen. This sounds like a great festival. So what we're doing is we're basically running it like a giant open mic. So anybody can come down. It starts at 7 p.m. We're encouraging original poems, original songs, dance. There's even going to be dances. We have some great dancers up there.
Now, this is a bar. So is there an age limit or...
They're family friendly. Okay. So there is a bar portion of it, but it's, you know, to the side. And so families are welcome as long as it's open.
Great.
All ages.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
It'll be a family appropriate event.
Yes.
family friendly. And, anyone's welcome to enter. We have had kids get up at open mic before, and it's just a great thing to watch and watch them get confidence.
Now, what about the... a skeleton horse head. Is that going to show up?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
it
dear.
Is going to show. So my husband is really good at finding stuff on the internet. And this is probably the weirdest thing I've asked him to find for me. I said, it doesn't have to be a real skull. In fact, I'd prefer that it's not. But can you find me like some kind of skeleton horse on the internet? And he delivered.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where he got it, but they make like a mask. You'd put it like you could wear it on your head. That's just a horse, but not a horse. It's the actual skeleton of a horse that looks like the Grim Reaper. But I've stuffed it and decorated it they do in Wales. So there will be a skeleton horse parading around.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And I said it was unpronounceable. Could you spell it for us?
The festival. Mary Lloyd is M-A-R-I space L-W-Y-D.
Uh-huh. That's why we're giving up on it.
Yeah. Just saying,
Mary Lloyd. Is this the first time you've delved into something from what may be part of your culture, but maybe it's obscure for sure? And...
Is this the first time I've done the Welsh side of it?
Is that what
you're asking?
Or anything. Because you do have an eclectic interest in many things, I've noticed.
Do. Yes, that is me for sure. I've spent a lot of time researching the Irish part of my heritage because my husband also shares that ancestry. And so it's of mutual interest. And so I've done a lot of research about the holidays in Ireland and different Irish music. But this is really, aside from like some half-hearted attempt at learning Welsh when I was like 12,
oh my gosh.
It went well. This is like the first really serious attempt I've made to learn a little bit more about Welsh culture. And I've actually learned a song in Welsh that they traditionally the songs they sing at Mary Lloyd are composed on the spot. It's like an impromptu poetry battle, but there's one that's sort of been passed down over the years. And so I learned that one. That I'm going to be singing at the event.
So I don't know whether you want to give us a preview of that. Would you be willing or something else?
That will be a surprise. Okay. You have to come. There's like a lot of mystery around the entrance.
Remind people where this is.
This is at Crown Alley Irish Pub in Ocean Park, Washington.
And so that's pretty close. That's
pretty
high up.
I mean, Yeah, but give yourself a little bit of time. You had to get over the bridge and stuff, right. but it's a good location. Good parking, family friendly for sure.
And they have a lot of music. This is a fairly new venue, I believe. A couple of years, maybe.
They started summer of 2018, and
just a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. And I owe a lot to them. I really got serious about folk music and Irish music because of this pub.
Really?
Yes. They had the Coastal Celtic Music Festival last year.
Right.
I was filling in between sets. I just approached the owner and went, hey, I like music, can I play? And he's like, well, here, just like, you know, kind of fill in and we'll see what happens. And it just kind of went from there.
Wow.
And they've had gigs with me there, and it's a wonderful environment. They're so supportive of musicians.
Do you play an instrument other than your voice?
I do. I didn't bring it today because it's
right.
You know, it's raining.
Yeah.
But yeah, I play the tenor guitar and the baritone ukulele.
Uh-oh, we have another tenor guitar person here. Yahoo!
And, you know, I've been led to believe the tenor guitar was given to me by a friend. And she said that she got it from the founder of the Tenor Guitar Festival
Very
here.
Very possible, Mark Josephs.
So, I mean...
To whom I dedicate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday would have been his birthday, yes.
Oh,
wow.
It's amazing how these things come around. So.
It's organic. Yeah. We're all in this together, for sure. Well, I would love to hear a piece of music.
Yes.
So, what do you want to give us?
So I learned an Irish language one.
Oh, good.
I'm singing it Sean Nost traditional unaccompanied style, but I don't think it's originally Sean Nost. They're normally highly ornamented, and this one I think was written a bit later.
Okay, what is that word you're saying?
Sean Nost. It means old style.
Okay.
And it's traditionally just singing without instruments, and there's normally a lot of ornamentation in the music. This one does not have as much ornamentation, but it's become a traditional song.
Nice.
Even though, you know, it was composed in like the 1950s, I think. But it became part of the culture.
That's right.
Too.
Yeah.
So it's called Donico Udim Behu, which means One Night in Bethlehem.
And do you speak Irish?
I don't speak it fluently at all. My husband has stopped laughing when I pronounce the words, so I know I'm getting there. But I definitely could not carry on a conversation.
Wait, now, is he an Irish speaker?
Kind of.
Oh.
There was a lot of language suppression in Ireland when he was growing up, and so...
Oh, he's from Ireland.
Yes.
Okay.
It's been very difficult for people of that generation to really connect with their heritage, and that's one reason that I've been so passionate about learning it, because I want to do what I can to keep it alive and hopefully inspire folks who were punished for speaking it that it's okay.
Yeah. Lovely.
Even if I don't pronounce it very well.
Lovely.
If nothing else, I'll infuriate them with my bad pronunciation, and then they'll come forward and teach me how to do it.
And have to sing it themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
So,
my guest, Catherine MacDonald.
Here's Donica Udim Behel. Donica Udim Behel. Meta gardarian go brok. Doni hudi mehu. Go don egon bria harslan. Togrius gruan sparho. Santal onok ludak Verhius agon sach levin, san wajan in evnes gro. Ar lac an lom an slaver, gon lac an ahir iscoth. Noir in os cald gal na spere, ta teg tar a je ar fo. Cair glur a nis don a hor, evil a has a hus go hard. Ish fast a fos ar tala, Dara Javen Shio
Khan. Oh, that is lovely, Catherine.
Thank you.
Lovely. Do you know what it means?
Yeah, I have a really awful translation from the internet. It's just
a general.
It's basically telling the traditional Christmas, Christian Christmas story. So, you know, one night in Bethlehem.
Right.
And about the wise men and the shepherds and that kind of a thing.
Well, you know, it's funny. I picked up this book, Traditional Irish Laws.
I saw that sitting there, and I was really wondering why it was there.
I got it, of all things, at the that little market that's in Pier 11, where they've got it all fenced off.
Yeah.
I went and looked through it. Yes. And it's got some pretty amazing ideas in here.
Are these the Brehon Laws?
I don't know what that means.
It's one of the oldest Irish legal codes in existence, and it's one of the earliest European codes where women were allowed to own property.
Well, that's probably in here somewhere. This has a myriad of things. For example, there are three trespasses of a hen in an herb garden: the soft swallowing of bees, injury to the dye plants, and attacks on the garlic. A guilty hen shall have her feet tied together or rag boots put on. These are for real.
Oh,
I don't know.
That sounds like the triads.
And another, if the cat in the kitchen attacks a member of the family, but it was in the work of mousing she did it, she is exempt from liability.
Oh, I'm glad they're protecting the cats.
Isn't that wonderful? And apropos of your festival, it turns out, no, this is a good thing. It turns out that poets are right up at the top.
Oh, yes.
They are given the same status as kings. And it's quite impressive here. So the chief poet of the tribe earns 21 cows annually, plus enough pasture lands to feed them, plus 2 hounds and 2 horses.
Wow.
Which is way more. The builder of causeways only earns 2 cows a year, as does the builder of chariots, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's bring that back. Poets, I like that.
Poets are right on top. I'll have to share some of that. So again, this is happening tomorrow evening and the Crown Alley Irish Pub in Ocean Park, Washington. Just head on up the peninsula, and it's the traditional part is the decorated horse skull. I think that would be a trip and a half. And then here it's the open mic competition, so with a horse skull on display.
Oh yeah,
thanks to thanks to Catherine's partner. So
absolutely,
this sounds like a blast. And if it's, I'm sure it will be successful. It sounds like the kind of thing that should become a tradition.
Oh, I would love that for sure.
I sense that it will be. So thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for the beautiful song.
Thank you, Carol. And, thank you for having me.
You bet. And we'll talk. So I do want to let you know, folks, some other things that are happening. Tonight, we mentioned at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, Amal and the Night Visitors. And that's also happening Sunday at 4, not tomorrow. Liberty Theater at 6:30 has Encore Dance Group with a Holiday Spectacular in a Rockette style. Astor Street Opera Company last weekend for Scrooge, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2. And The Coaster, Annie, that's in Cannon Beach. Last weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3. And Pickled Fish is hosting or is featuring Mishkin tonight. Tomorrow, there's at the Armory in Astoria, Solstice Bazaar, Cannon Beach History Museum all-day holiday party, Southwester Green Hills Alone CD party, Bay City Arts Center, A Christmas Carol by Portland Adventure Theater. The Liberty has a White Christmas sing-along, and they'll have the words posted for you. And the Crown Alley, we just heard about. Pine Grove Manzanita, 10 to 3 Solstice Gift Bazaar with 22 artisan vendors. The Peninsula Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock is featuring the fabulous Lisa Mann. And you should check and see if they still have tickets. North County Recreation District, that's NCRD, at 7 Sugar and Spice. On Sunday, Oysterville Church has a Christmas sing-along. Fort George is featuring Countryside Ride. And our very own Jennifer Goodenberger from 3 to 4 o'clock at the Cannon Beach Community Church. And Monday, McGregor's Whiskey Bar, Thistle in Cannon Beach. Thistle and Rose have a sing-along. Next Thursday, the Coaster Theater has a fireside social orchestra. And Seaside Museum is at the Seaside Brewing is featuring the Tourist Two Ferry. And it is time for me to say goodbye. Thanks to you all for being here from all over the world. Whatever your celebration is, make sure to let the light.